Check 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Ha! Cha!
Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM.
Oh, Luke, Wolf, hey, my brothers. Are you kidding me? This does not suck buttermilk, right?
Ron Wolfley.
Hey, I was a witch blister. How are you?
Luke Lipinski.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show.
It's Wolf and Luke.
What's up on this Friday morning, live from the Octane Community Studios? It is the Wolf and Luke Show. Wolf, what's up?
Oh my goodness, man. I seriously needed this Friday today, Luke. I don't know about you, but I'm just...
Yeah, kind of you a long week.
You know, I kind of was being a little facetious there when I offered that up to you right there, but it has been a long week, brother, and... Can I just say live on the air how proud of you that I am, man? You just see, you walked right through it. A very, very difficult situation, and you did it on the air, and you walked right through it. And the respect that I have for you, bro, can't be measured in human hands.
Thanks, buddy. I that means a lot to me, and I'm now nervous about doing the next 4 hours of the show because I can only go downhill from here. But it is a Friday.
Yeah, it is a Friday right now, and Luke Lipinski needs this Friday, ladies and gentlemen, as a lot of people do with the organization and the Coyotes and what happened with the Coyotes, of course. And we're going to be talking about that today as well, unfortunately. And at the same time, this is going to be an ongoing story.
Yeah, I'm looking at the show sheet, and we're going to hit every sport quite a bit today.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman is going to have a press conference at 11:30, and that's going to be the first time we've really heard the commissioner talk since this all happened, because it really only happened yesterday, even though it feels like it's been going on for a few weeks. So maybe we'll start to get some insight there as to what the next steps are. Shane Doan's going to join us, but also, look, we got Cardinals to talk about. We're within a week of the draft. The Diamondbacks lost, but Jordan Montgomery's pitching tonight. And Wolf, we're going to start with what would normally be the biggest story of all, and maybe it is again. The Phoenix Suns begin their playoff run tomorrow. And the regular season, I don't know about everybody else. I'm just trying to distance myself from this regular season. And I'm guessing the Suns probably are too. And they can do that right away if they go out there and win the series.
Man, and, you know, we're going to be talking about this all show as well. But game one, based on Orleans, is absolutely huge in my book. Game one. I think it is in a lot of these seven-game series, of course. But at the same time, I think this series in particular with the Suns and the T-Wolves, it's more important. Game one. And who might win game one? Just the mental mind job that you could possibly inflict on the Minnesota T-Wolves. Coming out in game one, hey, everybody, give me the baton. They're at home. Here we go. We're into the playoffs, and I know we lost to this team in the regular season three times. We're 0-3 against them, but give me the baton because the second season is not the first season. And because of that, we're going to go in, and we're going to beat the Suns. The T-Wolves have got a Jedi mind trick themselves if somehow, some way, the Suns win game one of this series.
No, and you know, every team, I'm sure, that's left in the Western Conference, I would say, on some level still feels like they could represent the Western Conference. I know every team should feel that way, but, like, realistically, is Chicago winning the East? You know, if it comes to that, like, I think they kind of know in the back of their mind, let's see how far we can go with this. Is even Indiana, like, Indiana's a fun team and they're not winning the East. In the West, I mean, you could make a compelling case for every single team that is left. I don't think Minnesota's a title threat, but they have every right to feel that way after winning 56 games this season.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
They've got an awful lot of confidence right now. And that's why, again, based on earnings, I think the Suns have a great opportunity to really mess the T-Wolves up. I mean, seriously, again, game one. It's just game one of the series. Is it really? Because you just lost to the Suns as well. And you lost all three games you played. Now, all of a sudden, you've lost four games to them. It just keeps adding.
Yeah.
It just keeps building, especially on your floor. Oh, my goodness, man. The opportunity. This is fascinating because the opportunity for the Phoenix Suns, what does it do to them and their mindset going into this game? Hey, man. Hey, guys, do you understand? We go out there and we steal game one. Somehow, some way, that's four games in a row we've beat them. What kind of messed up mind trick will that?
It also adds to the feeling that maybe they've turned a corner or flipped a switch or something here at the end of the regular season. I mean, it was so late in the regular season. Although, you know, to be fair, you could point to different parts of, I don't know, maybe like the last month or so and say, here's something. Here's Bradley Beal doing this, and maybe is freeing things up here, and maybe this part of the game is better. They're attempting more threes, which means they're making more threes, which even if that's not necessarily the way their roster is built, it's kind of the way you have to do things in 2024 in the NBA. They're rebounding better. The turnovers are still kind of, but nobody's looking at the Suns and saying they're perfect, but they have been a better team over the last month than they were the first 2 months of the season, for sure. And so if they then go out there, to your point, and beat Minnesota again in game one, that really continues two trends that don't look great for the Timberwolves in this series.
Yeah, and, you know, once again, too, I think the confidence level for the Phoenix Suns has got to be sky high right now. And although that does concern me, Basinonians, their confidence is warranted. It is. They beat the T-Wolves every which way you possibly could. They beat them in a defensive slugfest, and they beat them in a shootout. Their confidence level right now, the Phoenix Suns' confidence level, has got to be super high. And that is, again, it's a great thing, but for this team, it could also be a very bad thing.
There's a fine line, right?
I'm just saying.
I'm just looking at those last 10 games and the fact that they went 7-3. The Oklahoma City loss, okay, you lose by 25 to a team without SGA. The Clippers loss was embarrassing the way that went down. I mean, I know they ended up only losing by 13, but to be down 35-4. But, you know, if you're going to talk about those, you do have to acknowledge they beat Denver in Denver. They beat the Pelicans in New Orleans. They beat Cleveland again. They beat Minnesota twice. They did beat the Clippers, a very depleted Clippers team after that, and it wasn't impressive. But they beat Sacramento. That was a big game. The wins happened, too. The biggest thing for me right now with the way this season has gone, in addition to the just normal excitement of the playoffs being here, it just felt like all season, every time the Suns lost a game, it was like, well, I shouldn't have traded for Kevin Durant. I mean, look, did you see that? They just lost a game. This was a mistake. They're destroyed. They're ruined. And if they won a game, it was like, yeah, but how would this project into the playoffs? None of it matters anymore. If they win a game tomorrow, we're not projecting what that would look like if they were playing Denver, because nobody cares now. Now you're in the playoffs. The game in front of you is all that matters.
See, to me, and this is why the ante is so high right now, because the T-Wolves are going to come out. Do you think they know they need to win this game? Do you think they know that?
Need to win.
Yes, they do need to win.
Need to win.
That's what I said. Listen, they know it. We know it. The Suns know it. The basketball universe knows it. We all know it. They need to win this game because, once again, the damage, the mental damage it could do to the T-Wolves. And yet, that's why it's such a huge opportunity for the Phoenix Suns. How did the Suns come out of the tunnel?
Well, I mean, it would be nice to jump on that team. Karl Anthony Towns is obviously back. He's played a couple games. I'm sure the week probably helped Minnesota actually get healthy more so than the Suns, which is crazy to even think about. But he hasn't looked like Cat yet in these first couple games back. The longer you can put that off where he has a monster game or where Anthony Edwards figures it out against you, if you can push that for a couple games and go up 1 or 2-0 in the series, that just puts so much more pressure on the Timberwolves and so much more doubt in theory in their minds.
Yeah, the only other thing I would add to that is with Bradley Beal and his profile expanding on this team and what he actually is bringing to this team right now, it would be nice if you could make this a quick series. If you could, I mean, right?
I was thinking the same thing.
Because he needs to be fresh going forward.
I wasn't bold enough to say it, but I was thinking it of like, yeah, hurry up and get through the series.
Listen, you know, once again, you could build the argument. The Suns beat him three times, and they beat him every which way you could. Defensively, offensively, they handled him. You could build a case that this is going to be over in five.
I think we're looking at six games, and the longer Anthony Edwards is going to have a game where he goes off, the longer we can put that off, the better. Like, if he goes off tomorrow and Minnesota wins game one, this is anything goes at that point. But if the Suns can kind of stifle him a little bit and go up 1-0, it's like, all right, and just continue the trend from the regular season. Legendary comedian Kevin Hart is heading to Arizona Financial Theater October 11th. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. When we come back, What led to Alex Morello selling the Coyotes? We're going to react to what he had to say next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Another season ends with no playoffs in sight. The players take the ice and wish the fans good night. But there are tears and hugs and signs for all to see. This is the end of Yotakian AZ. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
I think whenever you have something that you really love and care about and it's gone, then you kind of grieve, and I think you go through a whole bunch of emotions.
Kachuk and Roenick and Dallas Drake were nice. Fans watching from seats where they can't see the ice. The group of owners changing with every team sale. Los Arcos didn't work, so let's move to Glendale. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
We walk together forever as Coyote fans, and that's the story, really.
Brian Boucher just would not let a goal go through. And we found something the great one couldn't do. Shootouts and whiteouts, Heat House and Tyson Nash. Tempe people voting for a pile of trash. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
What's the nut like above the valley? There's a paradise that's near here. I don't know where it is, but it's not far from here.
So as the legend Shane Doan watches his son skate, the team prepares to move to their home in Salt Lake. Morello counts his money to bid on some land. It's only business, so screw all of the fans. Although it was predictable, we put up quite a fight. We have to wish the Coyotes goodbye.
It's been a wild ride this entire time, but everybody who experienced it is so happy that they did.
You have to wonder if the NHL would have really moved the team if they knew it would make Jarrett sing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was ever really factored into the decision-making. Clearly it wasn't, because they moved the team. We have no hockey, and Jarrett's singing. We're really all kind of the losers.
But I have to admit, Basin Rings, I enjoy the writing. The writing of Jarrett is really, really good. Greg Brady, of course, is what I call him.
Rhyming Bob Heathouse and Tyson Nash with Tempe people voting for a pile of trash. That's actually poetry.
Yeah,
that's
actually, you know, poetry. Honestly, right now, the lyrics, of course, that matter. Words matter. And he does that very, very well.
The lyrics of my pain. And probably now all your pain, too. Yeah,
by the way, Greg Brady, don't let it go to your head.
Oh, it's already gone.
Ever. I said.
The guy, you've heard his singing voice. You see that dance move
back
there?
Yeah, right,
there?
Exactly.
I'm going to play this, and we're gonna carry the Gary Bettman press conference at 11:30 live. Gary Bettman and Alex Morello, we've heard a little bit from Morello, and we'll play some of it here. But this is Gary Bettman yesterday explaining why the Coyotes are moving to Utah.
We decided, in conjunction with the owner of the Coyotes, who didn't approach us, we approached him. We've spent 2 years at Mullet Arena at ASU, and we're grateful for their hospitality, but it's not a major league facility. And with the uncertainty of whether or where there's going to be a new building, and under a best case, we'd be playing in Mullet, the Coyotes would, for another 3 to 5 years. We decided it wasn't fair to the players, it wasn't fair to the league and the other clubs, so we needed to come up with something that would long-term preserve hockey in Arizona, at the same time enable us to establish a new franchise using the Coyotes Players and Hockey Operations Department in Utah.
Look, I'll be honest, Wolf, I know that everybody is wary of trusting owners and commissioners in general, and a lot of times I'm there with you. I do think that 45-second soundbite we just played there from Gary Bettman, though, I don't think it's the only reason we got to this point. we could do, they could do a 30 for 30 series on how the Coyotes got to this point if you really want to start at the beginning. But I do think what he just said right there was ultimately it. Even if you got an arena tomorrow, you're still not actually getting the arena for 3+ years. And I don't think the NHL Players Association was going to let the Coyotes, and more so visiting teams, come and play. Everything I've heard is it was the visiting teams being like, well, I shouldn't have to play under these circumstances. And they weren't bad conditions. They really weren't. But the original plan was we're going to do this for 3 years with an option for a fourth while you build an arena. We're 2 years into it and there's not even a location yet.
Right. Man, I can tell you right now, the one thing I continue to look at is just Alex Morello and what a great businessman he truly is. It doesn't mean we like it. But when you stop and think about it, you're telling me this guy sold the Coyotes, his team, of course, to Salt Lake for $1 billion?
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's, yeah.
Okay, so when you stop and think about that, he bought it for 400-something million.
Yeah, I think you said, you're the one that seems to remember this number was like 419 or 420.
I have no idea why I remember that.
All the people that I work with or am around that, you know, are involved with hockey, and Wolf's the one that always seems to remember the number it sold for.
So to me, once again, I'm thinking to myself, he's making money off that sale, and all of a sudden he's going to keep the rights for the NHL franchise here in Phoenix as well. And if he's a businessman, why wouldn't you go ahead and do everything you could to go ahead and secure land and secure a new arena and then sell your rights once again for buku bucks? Because the NHL and Gary Bettman, they want a franchise here, and it's going to happen again at some point in time. When that is, I don't know. But if you tell me Alex Morello's got the rights here as well, he just sold the team for buku cash to Salt Lake, and now he still has got the rights here, and he'll do it again.
Yeah, he clarified a few times. He wanted to make the point when he was out with Burns and Gambo yesterday that he is still the owner of the team and that the team is just inactive right now. And it is a little bit different than just, hey, we'd love to have a hockey. Like, if this was San Diego, there's been rumblings behind the scenes, at least, probably publicly, too, that San Diego wouldn't mind an NHL team at some point. They got some pretty rich people right there in that area where they could potentially bring one. But to me, that's different than the Coyotes are technically still here. They're just inactive, and they have, what, 5 years to make it work. So you are kind of a couple steps ahead in the expansion process already. Now, you need to get the arena, which has clearly been the biggest issue of many here over the 28 years they were here. I mean, he went on in the interview and, you know, talked about how part of the problem here has been from the beginning. And I do agree with that. I mean, they have never just had the Coyotes. Can you just imagine if the Coyotes had an arena where you could see all of the ice in the middle of Phoenix?
Yeah.
Like, just, is that really that inconceivable of an idea? But for 28 years, it has been, it's never just been, hey, we're going to try and make this work. It's, we're going to make it as hard on ourselves as possible and then try to make it work.
And to that point right there, Luke, it's one of the reasons why if you're going to build it out on the west side, you've got to win. You have to win. If you win, they will come.
Yeah, we've
here
seen
in
that.
Phoenix. That's what it is.
But you're not going to get any walk-up traffic on a Tuesday night when you're 20 miles west of downtown Phoenix.
No, you're right about that. But once again, it's one of the reasons why it's so important that if you are going to have an NHL franchise here, you win. Because this town loves a winner. This town will jump on a winner. We've all seen
that's
it.
That's for every sport, really, here in this town.
Yes,
It's more noticeable with hockey, but it's with every sport. Here's Alex Morello real quick on the why it went sideways with the Tempe project. Because to me, this is where this team was lost.
When the public does not understand, and they believe that all you got to say is a billionaire tax help or giving free money to a billionaire, they don't go for it. And even though it's not true, I'm not asking for anything. I wasn't asking for any tax abatements or help from the public in constructing the arena. They didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't understand that and they didn't accept it. But it's funny because now you've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who just recently won 2 Super Bowls.
Lost the vote.
And lost the vote. That tells you everything you want to know. The public doesn't understand it. If they think it's some kind of a tax abatement or free money for a billionaire, they're opposed to it.
Look, we said this at the time. Nobody trusts anybody right now. And that was a great deal for the city of Tempe. Set the hockey aside. You get you have somebody paying to clean up the landfill that is going to cost anywhere between, what, $50, $75 million, maybe $100 million that now we're going to have to pay to clean up separately in Tempe. I hope that everybody that was avidly campaigning with some misinformation in there, I'm assuming they're going to pay for it, right? They'll just pay out of pocket. But there's some fault on the Coyotes. And I said this at the time, you need to get your message out. You know, I'm not saying Morello's always been right or that every owner's always right. In fact, a lot of times it's not the case with owners. But when you're actually giving somebody a good deal, and he was getting stuff out of it too, but it wasn't at the expense of the taxpayers. You got to get that message out. The other side was organized and got their message out. The Coyotes, I mean, that vote cost us a team. You and I said that at the time.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is at some point in time, I would say in the near future as well, you're never going to have a situation where an owner is going to get tax abatement or tax money to build a stadium or an arena. Just going to be, you're a billionaire, build it.
That's the way it's going to have to be. Text us your thoughts, the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. And we come back to the Chargers of all teams. Maybe just leak what the Cardinals are going to do at the draft next Thursday. We'll explain next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
News on number 4. Draft coverage, live, local, late breaking.
Well, all right. How are we going to sort through this one, Wolf? I will remind you that yesterday you were quite clear. We're within a week of the draft. Draft subterfuge is everywhere. Trust no one.
Man.
However, this is kind of a different approach. If this is draft subterfuge, this is pretty devious. This is Joe Ortiz, GM of the Chargers. Chargers pick 5th, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is what he said yesterday.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's going to be 4 picks that go before us, but we believe that, you know. And if 4 quarterbacks go, we believe strongly that we have the first pick of the draft. So what are teams willing to give us? Now, obviously, we know it's the 5th pick, and people are going to be trading on that, you know, scope. But, it's got to be a good value for us. And does it have to be blown away? What is blown away, you know? I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that because you know what? It's never been done before. What we're going to ask for is never been done before. So I don't know how to answer that.
You tell me how many picks you got.
Okay, so Joe Ortiz, based in Onions, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mel, but from the Baltimore Ravens, as a matter of fact, the Ravens, everyone pilfers the Ravens front office. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, there's a reason.
There's a reason, right? Because the Baltimore Ravens have done very, very well in regard to drafting players that appear in the 4th, 5th, and 6th round that suddenly turn into NFL starters. They've just got a good system there and how they go about their business right now. But, you know, for him to say, we believe we have the first pick in the draft, what do you make of that, Loke?
Well, first, let's start with the basics here. If he's saying 4 teams in front of them are taking quarterbacks, he's saying the Cardinals are trading the 4th pick. Put a pin in that for just a second.
Okay.
Why is he saying that? Because if anything, it almost sounds like he's trying to goad them into taking Marvin Harrison Jr. when he does that. So is he doing that because he wants the Cardinals to take a receiver so that the 4th quarterback is still on the board?
Oh, my goodness. You have gone more grassy knoll than I ever want.
Well, that's the goal,
this
right?
This is awesome.
That's where my mind
goes. You're saying he's trying to goad the Cardinals into saying, We're going to have the first pick in the draft.
Like, I mean, but does that stuff ever work? Does he really think Monty Austin Ford's going to be like, what do you think we're going to trade? I'll show you. I'll just take a receiver.
Yeah, how about that? We know you're going. No, listen, I think he is thinking clearly here, and he's not actually using any type of draft subterfuge.
Okay.
I think he's saying we have mocked this up. And we totally believe the Arizona Cardinals are going to trade out of 4.
It leads me to another question I've always kind of had about the draft. And maybe we should ask Monty Austin for this the next time we have him on the show. And he probably won't give us an answer. But if any GM would, it would be him, I think. How much do these GMs all know? Like, no, they don't know how the draft is going to go. But we're sitting here and we're looking at mock drafts, and even the mock draft experts are kind of throwing darts. Well, I kind of heard this from a different scout, or the reporter in, you know, wherever, Minnesota has been suggesting this. I just wonder how much Monty knows, like, well, yeah, we know they're going Caleb Williams. We know Jaden Daniels is going second, and we know Drake May is going third.
Yeah.
And you know, to your point, do the Chargers, have they heard from so many people that, yeah, the Cardinals, people behind the scenes, that the Cardinals want to move the pick?
Yeah, I just want to say this quickly because you brought it up right here. This is the week, though, that the Cardinals are doing all of their scenario work mm-hmm. in regard to leading up to the draft. Their own mocks is what they're doing right now. Luke, why would they engage in that if they didn't think there was any value there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why would you engage in that if you didn't feel like there was value there, using everything you know? And that's got to be Monty sitting around talking to other GMs as well on the phone, you know, plowing the road for some possible trade on draft day. He's already talked about that. He's had multiple calls on that pick, of course. That's not a shock. But, you know, for me, once again, the fact that they mock it up tells me there's value there, using the knowledge, using what they know and applying it to their own mocks.
Yeah, when I say how much do they know behind the scenes, I don't mean like they know 100%. This is going to happen. They have to be prepared for all these different scenarios. But I think there's this thought out there where it's just like, well, they're all kind of waiting to see what happens, and they're all totally in the dark. And I wonder if they have, I don't know what the number would be, but like 85% of an idea of what's going to happen in front of them, you know, and they got to be prepared for the other 15% or whatever it is. But I wonder if they have a pretty good feel. Like, everybody knows the Bears are taking Caleb. And I just wonder how far down the draft it goes. Like, I wonder if the Bears picking at 9 have a pretty good sense of what the first 8 teams are likely to do, more than we all do.
Right.
But one monkey wrench changes everything.
Exactly right. And does that monkey wrench happen? Oh, yeah.
Always.
It always does, right? But once again, going back to it, we believe we have the first pick in the draft, says Joe
Ortiz. That's pretty definitive.
That's pretty definitive right there. And he's not mentioning any. He thinks all of their mock work that they've done says the Arizona Cardinals are trading out of there because they're going to get off. There's going to be a quarterback-hungry team that is going to move up to number 4, and they're going to get a boatload. The draft starts with us at number 5. Isn't that, I mean, honestly, right now, okay, Monty. So
that would be the first time in NFL history, by the way, that the first 4 picks were quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, and this quarterback class isn't like that amazing besides Caleb Williams. There's other good quarterbacks, but to like,
are you saying there's a Christian Ponder in there somewhere?
Probably historically, yes. I mean, do you look at this quarterback class as the historically greatest quarterback class ever? I don't. And especially, even if you're really high on Caleb Williams, do you look at the next 3 guys, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, as being the best 2 through 4 ever? Or is this just a sign of how desperate teams have gotten for quarterbacks? I kind of think it's the latter, don't you?
Yeah.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We come back. Will the Phoenix Suns once again shut down Anthony Edwards in their first-round playoff series? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Let's go, Suns. Come on.
Wolf and Luke talk Suns Timberwolves now.
Game 1 of the best of 7 tomorrow. We actually still don't even have all 16 teams set yet, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, Wolf. But there's still a couple play-in games going tonight. Bulls Heat, winner gets the 8 seed, loser can go home. Kings, Pelicans. 2 teams this season that I feel like have been almost running a dead heat all year, the Kings and Pelicans. So maybe it's fitting that one of them is going to eliminate the other one tonight.
It seems fitting, yes.
Pelicans without Zion for that game, too.
Oh, my goodness, I know.
That's rough.
Poor Zion. I say that because I've seen guys like him. They just, for whatever reason, are going to break down at some point in time. And we've seen that here as well. Mm-hmm. Seen it with Bradley Beal, of course, and Kevin Durant, even Book to some degree. We've seen it. But, man, Zion just has a hard time staying on the floor.
Well, and he right now is the poster child for what, you know, every time Frank Vogel was asked about the play-in this season, his reaction was always, hey, those are extra games. Somebody could roll an ankle or get hurt or whatever, right? I mean, that is exactly what happened to Zion. Not the rolled ankle, but he was playing out of his mind in that game. He gets hurt, and now they are playing for their playoff lives tonight without Zion Williamson. And it's just like, this is why you want to avoid the play-in. I understand. I don't mean like the play-in shouldn't be a thing. It turns out it was kind of a genius move.
It's fantastic. It really is, honestly. I don't like the in-season tournament. I really don't. But, man, the play-in, they got it right.
Well, because there's something really on the line in the play-in. I mean, it's a big difference between being in the playoffs and going home as opposed to being able to hang half of a banner if you win the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
So, anyway, those two games are going tonight. We're going to be down to 16 teams tonight, and then one of the first playoff games is Suns-Timberwolves tomorrow. And, you know, Wolf, we were talking in the pre-show meeting. Everybody's looking at this series. The Suns are heavily favored to win the series. Not like crazy. Not like Denver is favored in their series, you know, but for being a lower-seeded team, the Suns are pretty heavily favored to win the series. I just wonder how much of that is contingent on the idea of, well, they've shut down Anthony Edwards three games. They'll just keep doing it. Because if that's the case, I'm uneasy because I don't think they're going to keep shutting down Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, but if you're talking about winning the series, you know, Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, might actually go off game one. Maybe you shut him down in game two and game three, and then he goes off. And, you know, whatever it may be, you're banking on the fact that he's not going to go off every game.
Yeah, no, and that's
you're
fair.
Banking it. That's fair. That is. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
It goes back to the conversation you and I have had a lot this year of the Suns haven't really been very consistent, but over seven games, I feel like they're going to figure it out against a lot of teams in the playoffs. And we're going to see. I guess we're going to find out starting tomorrow. We don't even have to speculate on it, but it's kind of that. Yeah, what if Anthony Edwards, what if they shut him down in game one, but he puts up 42 in game two and he just makes everybody on Minnesota great? Yep. But you come back to Phoenix, the series is tied one apiece. You've stolen home court. Yeah, he's gone off for a game, but you also shut him down again for a game. More so than pretty much any team in the NBA, they have shown that they're at least capable of shutting him down for a game or two or three.
Yeah, here's the one thing we can be certain of, Basinonians, tomorrow when we see game one. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Game one at 12:30 is tip, right? 12:30 tip time right there.
It's the second playoff game.
As a matter of fact, okay, the second playoff game. The one thing we can be sure of is the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to come out and they're going to try to muck this game up. They're going to come out and it's going to be nasty.
Oh, this is going to
they're
be going to
come
series.
Out and they want to make this as dirty. And I don't mean taking cheap shots, basically. I'm just talking about metaphorically, of course, just dirty and nasty and physical as they can.
You know, we're going to have Kellen Olsen on later on in the show, and I think I may just ask him for his opinion on this one. But we can play the game right now a little bit. Like, who on Minnesota is going to be the guy that everybody in Phoenix despises by the end of this series? Because you know, over the course of a best-of-seven series, that's always on the table, potentially, right? And especially, and I completely agree with you, Minnesota has seen the Suns three times. Everything they've tried hasn't worked. I guarantee you, a team that is so good defensively like Minnesota, their whole plan is going to be, we're going to be as physical, we're going to out-physical the Suns.
Yes.
If we have to cross the line a couple times to get them off their game, I'm sure Minnesota is willing to do it. I feel like that guy's going to be Rudy Gobert because he always just seems to be the guy, attached to these sort of things. Not that he's necessarily a dirty player. I don't know that Minnesota doesn't really have a Patrick Beverley or a Jose Alvarado or Grant Williams. They have had, some of these guys in the past. But if I had to guess right here before the series starts, the one that we're all going to be really sick of by the end of the series is probably Gobert.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. I think he's got to be the tip of the spear for them when it comes to the physicality. He has to be. This is where, especially because of Nurk, this is going to be really, really interesting, man, to see big Nurk go at it as well. The Phoenix Suns need him to be that guy.
Need to win.
Wait a minute. We can't say the word need on the Wolf and Luke show.
Need to win.
We're not talking about winning. We're talking about an individual person here who needs to go out and set the tone.
The second you said it, I'm so glad she played it, because the second you said it, I thought it. And I was I wonder if she did play it.
Of course. So apparently, Command and Control, they own the word need.
Yeah. They also own the word ironic. And
no! Oh, don't do it.
It's like praying on your wedding day.
Wow. I mean, we have played the musical stylings of Jarrett Carlin and Wolf in the same hour. Anybody that was driving around thinking, like, why am I driving around on a Friday? I guarantee you they just pulled over and left their car on the side of the road.
I apologize, brothers and sisters. That was just nasty right there.
How about the fact
that
Aaron had that queued up before I even finished saying it? Exactly. Like, we've become so predictable, she knew where I was going.
Yep. That is the problem.
Do you remember what you were saying, though?
Yeah, I was talking about the need.
Need to win.
Just stop it. Everyone in the car right now that is listening, it doesn't matter where you are. You're out there on the 101. You're out there on the 202. Dare I say the 303? The 17? It doesn't matter where you are. You're screaming, stop it.
You know, I had a thought just to derail you again for a second real quickly.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you know how they just close every freeway on the weekends for whatever reason?
Yeah.
Well, I thought yesterday was they can't take the coyotes if ADOT closes every freeway, because how are they going to get them out of here?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
This could actually come in handy.
Yeah, I just think, once again, the physicality of the T-Wolves, they're going to come out and they're going to try to make this as nasty a series as they can. Hey, listen, in the last game, was there a dust-up? Ask yourself that. Yeah. Was there a dust-up? Was there? Oh, goo. Who was involved in that dust up?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No. It's.
Oh, Bradley Beal? Bradley Beal. What are you doing, Bradley? You and Ant-Man.
This comes back to something we were wondering about very early in the season. Like, if things get a little dicey and things go sideways in a playoff game, who's going to step in and, you know, not throw a punch, but, like, be ready, right?
Nurk,
I believe, has become the answer over. Now, if you need somebody to take a punch and not care, that'll be Drew Eubanks. You can just punch Drew Eubanks. He'll just be like, whatever.
No.
It's a soft punch.
Luke means that, literally.
No, he's done it. He's done it this season.
He's done it.
You just punch him in the face and he just keeps looking at you.
And it was before a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It was before. Yeah. It wasn't after. It was before the game.
You're heading in. Isaiah Stewart punches him in the face.
That's exactly right.
And he's like, can you hit the other side to even it up?
What are you going to do, Drew? You gonna take one for the team? Literally.
I can see the scenario where Booker gets into somebody and gets into it with somebody and they go to punch him and Drew Eubanks just steps there and takes the punch and then Nurk is ready to fight afterwards. Yeah, that's
Drew doesn't care.
He does not
care. And hopefully Nurk's dad's gonna come over too. You think he, you know what? Why not show up? Hey, my son's in the postseason.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I love that dude. I'd love to meet that dude.
Nurk's 7 foot, like 400-pound dad.
He's allegedly based in Orleans. He's 400 pounds, and I'm not talking about a guy that.
He's in shape.
He's square. He's a square.
And what was the story? He like fought like 12 guys at once.
I thought it was 14.
It was 14.
See how I remember this stuff, Bill? It's unbelievable. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night, but you know what, man? 14. He fought 14.
You know how many guys Big Nurk's dad fought?
Story.
And you know how much the Coyotes sold for originally. So if we need to come to you for specific numbers, now we know we can count on it. When we come back, over to baseball, how about this? Pretty big day for the Diamondbacks today as well, because Jordan Montgomery is set to make his D-backs debut tonight. What do we expect? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.